Turn in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. Our text will begin at verse 10 and we'll go through the end of the chapter. At the beginning of our study of the book of Philippians, I made mention of how there is very little, if any, in the way of condemnation said towards this group of believers, but there was a great deal of commendation or a great deal of praise heaped upon them. And our subject this morning, we'll discuss in part one of the things that this group of believers was praised for, and that was their giving. And I've entitled the message, A Commendation for Their Giving. And so let's begin reading at verse number 10. It says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, bless as we look at these final verses in the book of Philippians. And Lord, help us to be reminded of the importance of giving, and specifically giving to those who are performing the work of the ministry. Lord, I don't believe that there's any greater work in the world than the labor of preaching the gospel. And Lord, I pray for the missionaries that we support in this church and the ones that we support individually, that you would enable them to continue their ministry, that you would enable them to continue to preach the gospel. Lord, we support a few missionaries in Mexico, some in Canada, ministries here in the U.S. Lord, the Cooks are in South America, the Festers in Peru. Lord, we think also of Brother David Cloud in Nepal. Lord, we realize he writes much and we benefit from that, but he's also ministering to the people of Nepal. And we pray for these missionaries that you'd give them all good health and that you'd give them all utterance to preach the gospel and that, Lord, people would be saved as a result. And yet, Lord, I stop to think that none of these missionaries could go and do what they're doing if your people did not give towards their ministries. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning we'd see the importance of giving to your work and to see how highly you esteem it. And use the message to minister to each and every one. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to point out from these passages this morning a number of truths regarding giving. And the first one I want to point out comes from verse number 10, and that is that giving is something that should always be done willingly. In verse 10 it says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, This wasn't the first time that this group of believers had given to the Apostle Paul, but they had given once again. And notice his response to that is that he rejoiced in the Lord. He doesn't say, you know, I'm proud of you. You know, sometimes I make it a point to say that's not something that should be in our vocabulary. You know, we tend to want to say to our children, and maybe sometimes say to our children, I'm proud of you. Well, really, a better way of expressing what we feel would probably be, I thank God for you. Because to say, I'm proud of you, again, the word pride, it's never used in a positive sense in the Bible that I know of. You know, pride is a bad thing. And even when we tell our children, you know, we're proud of them, it's probably because we think that some particular behavior they exhibited, you know, speaks well of us or reflects positively upon us. And the Bible says if we have anything to glory, it's in the Lord. And so if there's something good in a child that we see, we should give God the praise for its existence, you know, rather than heaping that praise upon ourselves. And so, and you know, I've paid attention to this as I have read through the Bible, because you'll never see, you know, the Apostle Paul saying of a group, or saying to a group of believers that I'm proud of you. And it's just one of the things that strengthens my confidence in that the Bible is the Word of God, because it's consistent throughout. You know, and while human tendency might be to say I'm proud, the Bible never does that. Instead, it gives God all of the glory. And he praises the Lord that they had given to him once again. He says, wherein ye were also careful, and that's the phrase I'm going to focus on for this first point, but ye lacked opportunity. That word careful, again, we know that it means not what we think it does on the surface. It means, you know, to be anxious or to be nervous or to be worrisome. And he says to this group of believers that ye were careful. That is, you were anxious. You were worried previously. And they were worried that they did not have the opportunity or perhaps the ability to give to the Apostle Paul. And what that demonstrates to me is that there was a willingness on their part to give. Nobody was twisting their arm. You know, nobody was making continuous pleas to them to give. This was something that they wanted to do. And they actually worried because they had not had the ability to help. And I don't know if that's because they didn't have the financial means and resources to help, because sometimes that's the case. You know, I hope you feel like I do sometimes, because, you know, it makes me a little bit anxious at times that we are not able to do more financially to help those who are doing the Lord's work. We just simply don't always have the financial means to do so. You know, when it's an evangelist or a missionary that comes through this church, my desire is to greatly help them and to be a blessing to them, in part financially. But, you know, being a small church, sometimes that's a challenge. You know, the reason I don't have more week-long meetings in the church is simply because I don't know that we can financially give to the evangelist, missionary, what have you, like we should. You know, and I hope this is something that we all share, this anxiousness, even though the Bible says be careful for nothing. You know, if we are worrisome or fretful about anything, I hope it's that it's because we're not able to do as much as we want to do. Because that's how this church felt. They had a desire to help, but they were limited. And it might not have been so much that they didn't have the financial resources to help. Maybe it's that they did not have someone to deliver the funds to the Apostle Paul. You know, there was no mail. You know, there was no financial transaction that could be done electronically to deposit the funds into the Apostle Paul's bank account. It was before all that. So if there was an offering that was taken up for him and his ministry, it had to be delivered personally. And that's what you see throughout the church epistles. That's what you see at the end of this epistle, that Epaphroditus was the one who delivered it to the Apostle Paul. So I don't know exactly the circumstances, you know, that prevented them from helping, but I know this, they wanted to help. They were willing to give. But they lacked opportunity, it says. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I hope that you recognize that this is one of the main chapters in the Bible dealing with giving. I think just about the entire chapter is dedicated to the subject of giving, and so is a large percentage of chapter 9. And notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, that is to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Here he's writing to the church in Corinth. And I don't know if geographically you understand where that's at, but you had Asia, you had Macedonia, and then Corinth down here, Greece, Athens, those areas. And the Apostle Paul usually traveled in this direction. And he had come from Macedonia to Corinth. And he says that God had bestowed a great deal of grace upon the churches in Macedonia. And you know which church is in, which, you know, there was a number of churches in Macedonia, but Philippi was one of those churches that was in Macedonia. And they were the church that gave to him primarily. And that's what he's talking about here in chapter number 8. And he's using that as an encouragement to the Corinthians to give. He says, "How that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." In a nutshell, he's saying, they gave, even though they didn't have a lot. Even in their poverty, they gave. They were liberal with their giving. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." Notice they entreated, "No, take this." I don't know if you've ever tried to give to someone in the past, but a lot of times when you try to do that, people are reluctant to take the gift. They don't want to take it. And you know, that's a good thing, by the way, I think, to be like that. It's a lot better than having an entitlement mentality, thinking that the world owes you or should give to you. I think our attitudes ought to be, you know, we will work with the two hands that God has given us to provide for ourselves. But that doesn't mean that God is not going to move upon someone's heart to give to you when you're in need. And if God was to do so, you could be a little bit resistant if you want, but in the end, you should allow that person to be a blessing to you. That's what they always tell preachers early on. You don't want to take gifts from people. Don't rob those people of a blessing, of being able to give. So they had to actually encourage him, entreat him to take this gift, that we want to help. In verse 5 it says, "And this they did, not as we'd hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Notice what they gave first. It wasn't money. It was themselves. And you know, when you give your all to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you give yourself to Him and say, "Here am I, Lord. Not just send me, but use me as you see fit." When you do that, it becomes very easy then to just give a portion of what He has given to you to those who are performing the ministry. He says in verse 7, let me skip over a couple of verses, but therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all of diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He says, boy, I want you to grow in your faith, and I want you to exercise faith in all that you do. I want you to grow in your love for us, and I want you to exercise love towards us in everything that you do. I want you to grow in your utterance, and I believe that probably is a reference to preaching the gospel. And all, we can see how important these things are that are mentioned. But he says, I want you to abound in this grace also. I want you to abound in giving. And he says in verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others. He says, I'm saying this in light of the way other people have given. You see how when one Christian does the right thing, it can be of great encouragement to the rest of the Christians around them. It could be a great influence upon others. And that's what he's talking about here. And then notice in that last phrase in verse 8, he says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Youch! Think about that. How can you tell whether or not someone is sincere in their love towards the Lord and other believers? By seeing how they use their wallet. He says in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know, again, I've referenced this a few times as of late, but in the book of Philippians it said that Jesus made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a man. He gave up all his glories. He gave up all his riches. He gave up his position there at the right hand of the Father. And he came to this earth and lived a pauper's life. There were times they didn't have food. Had Jesus not performed a miracle, they probably would have went hungry. He had no place to lay his head at night. He made himself poor, that we could be rich. And he's our supreme example then of giving. And you know, I know the Bible says that you give, and when you do, God will give to you 100-fold. That verse, I can't quote it, but you know, he'll give to you, you know, pressed down, overflowing. He says, man shall give into your bosom. Those of you who are familiar with that verse, you know what I'm talking about. The book of Proverbs says, you honor the Lord with your first fruits, and your barns will be filled with plenty. And while I believe, in a sense, that's true, and while I believe that is a general principle to follow, here it's saying the Lord Jesus Christ, no, he gave and he became poor. Now later on, after his resurrection, he would be exalted above all names. But that would come much, much later. And you know, sometimes our giving may mean that we do without something, but that giving is done for a greater purpose. I just want you to see, first of all, that giving should be done willingly. And there's a verse. Notice verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 8. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God wants us to give willingly. Willingly. As the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. Secondly, I want you to notice that giving does not have to be reserved until it's requested. Back in our text, in verse 11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want," or that is lack. Again, he's not praising the Philippian believers because he's going without, or that he has this great financial need. That's not why he's praising them, and that's not why he's bringing up the subject of giving. It's not because he wants something. It's not because he needs something. And by the way, you know, I know a lot of times preachers are uncomfortable talking about the subject of giving, because there's been certain, you know, within our profession, if you want to call it that, you know, that have made it obvious that they're in it for filthy lucre and not in order to serve the Lord faithfully. And, you know, the charismatics are constantly saying, you know, send this money, we'll send you a hanky, and you'll become rich. And we know that that's a bunch of nonsense. But, you know, I have no qualms. I have no reservations about, you know, preaching and teaching on the subject of giving. Like the Apostle Paul, I'm not looking for a handout. I'm personally not looking for anything. I just want God's people to be faithful to do what he's called upon us to do. And he's called on us to give. But Paul, he says, I don't have a want. I don't necessarily have a need. That's not why I'm commending you. And you know, you don't have to wait till there's a need or a request to give. You know, a lot of people would never ask for anything. You know, at different times, I've been a little frustrated at that in my own family or in this church, that people have needs, but they don't make them known. And I think that's a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes, if the church or the family doesn't know that there's a need, they don't know to help. That's why sometimes we have to pay careful attention to how the Holy Spirit is leading us and directing us. Because maybe He knows there's a need and He's directing us to give even before someone has asked for help. He says, in verse 12, I know both how to be abased, humbled, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Apostle Paul says, I've been in both situations, you know, where I have plenty and I don't have enough. And he says, God has taught me through it all to just learn to be content. And it's a hard thing to be content, especially if you live in the United States of America, because there's wealth all around you. There's money. There's things to buy. And that always plays on our flesh. We see something that someone else has and we want it. And we become discontent. Discontented with what we have. We want what we don't have. But Paul says, God has taught me to be content. And he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's a verse that's used out of context a great deal, isn't it? I mean, this passage is talking about, well, it's in the midst of the context of giving. And the Apostle Paul talking about learning contentment. And it's in that context that he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can be content with little. And of course, I can be content with a lot. That one seems to be a little easier for us. And that leads me to my third truth about giving. Not only should it be done willingly, not only should it not have to be reserved until it's requested, but giving, very simply, is a good work and it's worthy of commendation. Notice verse 14. Just a simple verse, but packed with significance. It says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. And that word communicate is talking about sharing. It's talking about giving. He says, ye have done well. Ye have well done. And aren't those the words that we want to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ one day? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, again, here is something that we know specifically is pleasing to the Lord. When we give towards the work of the ministry. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about giving specifically to those individuals who are preaching the gospel and teaching the truths of the Bible. Because we're inundated with requests to give, aren't we? I mean, the police officers call 2-3 times a year and ask for money, don't they? The volunteer fire department, they knock on our doors. They want donations, or at least come down to the fish fry and give a little extra. At my work, I mean, they pass out pledge forms for the United Way. Try to incent you to give money out of each paycheck, because if you will, they'll give you some freebie. I mean, we're inundated with requests to give. But scripturally, when we're talking about giving, we're not talking about giving to humanitarian efforts. We're talking about giving to those who are preaching the gospel. And it's not that we should never give to any of those groups I just mentioned a moment ago. But our top priority should be giving to those who are preaching the gospel. That is a good work. That's what verse 14 says. And it's a work that's worthy of commendation. Recall what it was associated with back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. With faith, with love, with utterance, with knowledge. All those things are important. And within that same context, it said, I want you to abound in this grace also. The grace of giving. But I do want you to notice, lest we think this is too important, something about giving. Look at Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus gave a parable, the parable of the unjust steward. You might be familiar with it. I don't want to read the entire parable. I just want to read what Jesus said towards the end of it. In verse number 10, he said, he that is faithful in that which is least, and if you look at the context, he's talking about money. So he that is faithful in that which is least, like money, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, earthly riches, money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You know, though we're emphasizing giving and giving monetarily, don't misunderstand me. That giving monetarily is not the chief of things. It's the least of things. But God says if we can't be faithful in that, He's never going to entrust us with true riches. It's one of the simplest of things, one of the easiest of things to do, giving. But it's a good work. You recall Jesus commended the woman who gave two mites. And it wasn't because she gave a great sum of money. She gave two mites, which is a farthing, I think. That's all she gave. But Jesus said, other people who gave, and they may have given more, but they gave out of their abundance. But he said, this woman gave all that she had. All that she had. Notice also in verses 15 and 16, giving is not a universal practice amongst believers. He says in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," see, this is what he was kind of referencing in 2 Corinthians, "no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." He says in the beginning here, you were the only church that helped me financially. You do understand why we support missionaries financially on foreign mission fields, don't you? Most of the time they go to countries and they're not able to work. You know, we have three missionary families down in Mexico, the Villarreals, the Bryans, and the Alvarados. They're not able to work because their country does not want foreigners coming in and taking jobs that could belong to their citizens. So they can't work and make money. They're dependent upon God's people giving. And that's why we give to missionaries when they go to foreign fields. There are some fields where they could work. I remember working with one particular missionary at camp one year, and he was going to Ireland. And probably a very dense populated country. And so if you have just a little bit of Irish in you, a lot of times they'll give you land and they'll let you work. But in that particular case, Christians support the missionary so he doesn't have to be distracted by secular work, and he can give himself completely to the work of the ministry. But notice, what I take away from these passages is that giving is not a universal practice amongst believers. I mean, that at this juncture in Paul's ministry, there was only one church that gave to him, and it was the church in Philippi. And probably if we were to take some type of survey, we'd be shocked at how few Christians give, or perhaps at how little they give. And you know, that really is a matter of faith. When we in God, what does God require of us? He requires the tithe, right? That we give 10% off the top to Him. Now our giving does not have to stop there. But that is a minimum. That is a starting place. And that's something that every Christian should do, and they should give the tithe to their local church for that ministry. And a lot of times, if you're in a sizable church, everybody giving that tithe will not only mean that the pastor is taken care of, but there are sufficient funds to help other missionaries in their go to fulfill God's calling on their life. But and if we don't give that, it's true. It's really a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith in that God will provide for us. I mean, it's hard many times for people to start giving that because they're thinking, if I give this 10% to the Lord, then that leaves me with less, and how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to do this? Well, is God able, as he says here in just a moment, to supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus? He says he is. You know, God's method of giving is the most just and the most fair that I've ever seen. Everybody gives 10%. Whether you make $10,000 a year or $1 million a year, you give 10%. And when we don't, it's a lack of faith in God providing for us. It's a lack of faith in God's promises regarding eternity. Because think with me for a moment. If you believed that every dollar you gave to the Lord's work would return you 100-fold in eternity, would you give? Absolutely you would. And so why don't people give in the way that God requires? Because they don't really believe. They don't believe he can provide. They don't believe in his promises regarding eternity. And they don't believe in the priorities that God has given to us in His Word. We're to give Him the first fruits of our increase. His comes first because He is the most important. The giving is not a universal practice amongst believers, and normally it's due to a lack of faith. Giving is as good for the giver as it is to the receiver. Look at verses 16 through 18. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. They gave more than once. But and again he says, not because I desire a gift. Again, that's not why he's so happy here. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He says, I'm happy for you, because when you give, you're a partaker of my ministry. And he's saying every soul that's saved is deposited to your account, at least in part. Every church that's established, you made that happen. Every ministry that started, you played a part in that. And so this giving, we see how it benefits the Apostle Paul directly, but you know what? It benefits those who gave. Because God will write to their account on their list of things that were done for Him everything that's accomplished through the Apostle Paul. You know, it's kind of why I find it encouraging to get the letters from our missionaries. You know, maybe we don't see a lot of souls saved in our church. Maybe we don't see a lot of families added. Maybe we don't see a lot of those types of things that we'd like to see. But when we read the letters of our missionaries, we see those things happening. And we played a part in that. It might just be a small part, but we played a part in that through our giving. Every time we give to missions, we're helping those missionaries to be fruitful, and God puts some of that fruit on our account. And that's why here the Apostle Paul, you know, when we give, you know why God's so happy? Is it because, whew, I needed that money. I don't know how I'm going to support all these missionaries I called to the field if so-and-so didn't give some money in the offering. No, that's not why God's so happy about us giving. Because He sees us growing. And He sees us believing Him. And He sees us willingly helping those who are performing the work of the ministry. You see, giving is just as good for the giver as it is the receiver. And then lastly, giving has a promise that's associated with it. Verse 19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, believers will often quote this verse and claim it as their promise. But when you consider it within this context, you cannot consider this promise one of your own, unless you have done like the Philippian believers and gave to those who were engaged in the work of the ministry. Because it's only once you've done that you've taken what God has given to you and given back to those who are serving Him, that you can expect God to supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I'd like to find people, Christians, genuine Christians in the world who were struggling financially and weren't giving. And I'd like to encourage them to start to give of their tithe, to give, if they could, to missions. And to see whether or not they're financial situation is improved or worsened. I know there'd be some people who would say, I did that, preacher, and it worsened for me. But I'd like to find, I really would like to find a handful of Christians who aren't giving, who are in financial straits, and they just start giving and see whether or not things turn around. Because I think in general, God does promise that. Does it happen in every situation? No. Like I said, sometimes, you know, you give and it might make you poor, but that's all right because you're investing in the future. You know, when I give in my 401k plan, I get less money on my check. Every check, I get less money to spend right now. But why do I do that? So that I'll have money in the future, Lord willing, if I'm unable to work or don't want to work anymore. I'm sacrificing today for rewards in the future. And sometimes we have to give with that mindset. But I do think many times, if you are faithful to give as God requires, that He'll bless you for it. I know some of those promises perhaps are much more applicable to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. But God says here, He shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, Pastor Hendricks, he always says, you know, if my giving causes me to have to skip a few meals, he said, it probably isn't going to hurt me any. He said, it probably ain't going to hurt all the rest of you any either. You know what he's saying when he says that? Is even giving, if I have to get by with a little bit less, all my needs are still going to be met. Because God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. You know, it has been said that you're never more like God than when you give. And that's because even God, He gave, didn't He? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's make sure that we're faithful in this area of giving. Let's pray. Lord, bless this message as it's went forth, and I pray that You'd use it to encourage Your people. Lord, I know there are so many, if not everyone in this church, who gives faithfully, and I'm grateful for that. Lord, undoubtedly it's why we're able to survive financially, being a very small church. And Lord, I thank You for those who give faithfully, who tithe and give to missions. I'm thankful for the little bit we're able to play a part in the ministry of our 9 missionaries. And I pray that You'd bless them. Bless them financially. Help souls to be saved and ministries to be started. And Lord, I pray that You would supply the needs of everyone in this church who gives faithfully. I pray, as the Bible promises, that their barns would be filled with plenty as You bless them for their faithful giving. And Lord, if there's one of us who needs to be reminded to give, might You give the faith to give, believing that You will supply all of our needs, believing that You will reward us one day in heaven for our efforts, and Lord, believing what You've said in regards to our priorities, and might it not be upon the things of this earth, but might it instead beyond the things of Christ. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 58. I gave my life for Thee. Hymn number 58.